Let me run down a resume for you right quick. 14-year MLB vet, all-star, gold glove winner, silver slugger, AL home run champ, AL comeback player of the year, award winner in 2007. MLB Network's live coverage from Houston's Minute Maid Park get underway at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch Carlos coming up on MLB tonight at 6 p.m. So he's got a really big day. The network has big day, and there is a big game. Carlos Pena is my guest. Carlos, it has been almost exactly a year since you and I spoke, which is too long. How are you doing, my friend? How is your life right now?
Doing well. I'm really excited watching the postseason and the World Series. I'm so happy to see Atlanta finally crack into the World Series and getting started to on the right foot. So I'm really excited to see how things pan out. And I'm doing well, Jim. It's good to join you.
Carlos Pena, my guest. It's great to have you back, Carlos. You know, the point about Atlanta getting back in and starting out quickly, why don't we talk about that for a minute? Because when the series started, you were talking about the importance of Astros starter Framber Valdez to induce weak contact. Knowing that, what went through your head when you saw Jorge Soler lead off last night with a home run?
You know, that was precisely my concern. You know, a lot of people talk about, oh, he you know, puts the ball on the ground. He's really good at inducing ground balls. I'm like, don't talk to me about ground balls. Talk to me about weak contact. A lot of those ground balls over there in Boston were hit pretty hard. So that tells me that the players, the hitters, were actually timing him up really well. It's just that he had really good movement, so a lot of those baseballs were hit into the ground. But what's concerning to me is that their timing was too close to ideal. So that was my concern, and sure enough, you know, he goes up there, and maybe the sinker was not sinking as much as he would have liked. So that's why I don't like that narrative. When I hear a pitcher say, well, I rely on my movement, that is very volatile. I mean, you can come in one day and feel really good. You have great movement, great sink on your two-seamer, and then the very next day you totally lose it for whatever reason. So I do not like when pitchers rely too much on movement. I rather talk about sequencing, and that's how you induce weak contact, with the right sequencing. And Valdez unfortunately did not have it yesterday.
I think that's a really important distinction. Carlos Pena joining us. So when you're in a huge game like that, what's it mean to the rest of the Atlanta dugout to have your leadoff guy start things off like that? How much of a lift can that give the entire team?
That is huge. I mean, when you punch first, you punch twice. And that's something that we talk about in the dugout. And now, even if you look at the World Series numbers, whoever goes out there and wins that first game, especially after 1995, the wild card era, we're talking about an 80% winning percentage of winning the World Series if you win game one, because momentum does matter. Seven games is nothing, Jim. I mean, it really is not. It's a very short series. And if you're able to go out and punch first and land a jab immediately out of the gate, it's huge how momentum, you can ride that momentum the whole entire way through.
Carlos Pena joining us. Those numbers are pretty amazing. Now, the inning kept going when Ozzie Albies beat out that infield single, stole second, and then came around to score. Then he chased out with that great play in the field with the bases loaded in the bottom of the first. How significant was he last night?
He is such a difference maker. I mean, he goes out there and plays a game that, yeah, of course, he had 30 home runs. You could talk about him being a second baseman, 30 home run power, which is remarkable, 100 RBIs. So that by itself, it's something that makes you scratch your head. I'm like, wow, this guy can do it all. But where I know he's at his best is when he's doing what he was doing last night. The rest comes kind of in addition to that game where he does every little thing, all the little things, where he's running out a ground ball. I mean, yesterday was a ground ball right at Altuve, and Altuve was playing the shift, so he's behind second base, and Altuve hesitated for a second, and Albies was safe at first. You cannot sleep on his speed. Another thing that I like is the fact that he knows how to shorten his swing. I mean, sometimes it looks like he's just playing pepper up there and just kind of getting the ball above the infielders for singles. And yes, that defensive play you mentioned, if that ball gets through, we may be talking about a different narrative. The game would have been tied right there.
No doubt. Carlos Pena joining us. Carlos, like, I don't want to be guilty of recency bias or to be a prisoner of the moment, but Eddie Rosario had two more hits last night. He's got a hit in every single game of the postseason. He's got 10 hits in the last four games. What do you make of the hot streak he's on? How do you get this guy out? I don't remember ever seeing a guy this hot on this big of a stage.
We're talking about Alvarez or Rosario?
Rosario.
Because we can say the same thing about Alvarez. But let's start with Rosario. It's incredible how baseball works, you know, when you are, when your timing is on. And I wish I could tell you that we could be, I mean, I wish I was more intentional about working on my timing rather than spending so much time on my mechanics. You know, if I had to go back, timing would be number one. That's what I think is going on right now with Rosario. His timing right now is pristine. It's really locked in. He is giving himself enough space to be able to get his healthy swing at the baseball. When you do that, there's no rush, no panic. How do you get him out? We're going to go back to sequencing. You better rush him inside and elevate the fastball and pair that up with a good off-speed pitch that hides behind the fastball you just threw. So sequencing is the key to getting him out. And then if we flip the script and go to talk about Alvarez, I don't even know why they pitch Alvarez out over the plate. Why would you throw Alvarez a fastball middle away? Even if you look at his exit velocities out there, Jim, he crushes those pitches. You have to rush him up and in and work from there. That should be your go pitch on both of these hitters that are extremely hot. Fastball, elevated fastball in the innermost and uppermost part of the strike zone, and then you work your off-speed from that. We'll see how that pans out. I hope someone's listening, because yesterday they, again, pitched Alvarez away, and he hit it all the way to center field off the wall. And I'm like, does anyone learn? Do not pitch Alvarez away. And to stop pitching Rosario also out over the plate. You have to rush him up and in. So we'll see if they're able to accomplish that tonight.
I was going to say, I hope somebody is listening. I was going to ask you about Alvarez, but you got to him first, Carlos. Well done. I want to ask you about Charlie Morton. Not that we didn't know this already, but when you see him take that shot off his leg, he stays in the game. We find out an inning later that he had broken his leg. What was your reaction to that? What are your thoughts about the way he hung in there and just kept battling and grinding?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he is such a he has this stoic demeanor, and nothing faces him. But when you're talking about physical pain, that's when you're like, okay, that is insane right there. Because he was pitching with a broken leg, you know, in simple words. And, you know, until you saw him land there and run, probably we wouldn't have noticed. You know, when he landed and then he kind of stumbled a little bit, we're like, okay, he's hurt. And, you know, it got to the point where he's like, I'm just going to hurt my team. I can't help him right now. And I thought it was incredibly a very special moment when you saw him almost apologize to his team. He was saying he was sorry because he wants to be part of this fight. And for him to be out of the series, it's a devastating loss for the Atlanta Braves. And then I thought it was very moving when you heard Snicker talk about his pitcher, Charlie Morton, and not only speak about what he brought to the table as a pitcher, but he went off about how great of a man he was. I thought that was a very moving moment and very well-deserved. You know, all those words are very well-deserved because Charlie Morton is exactly that. He's probably better off the field than he's on the field. And that speaks volumes about his character.
It's clear, right? He is absolutely beloved in that clubhouse and even outside of it. So, Carlos, before you go, if you're in the Astros clubhouse, what would you be telling your teammates before game two?
Yeah, I'm glad you actually said, what are you going to be telling your teammates? Because a lot of you will hear this. You're like, oh, we don't need a meeting. I'm like, yes, you do. You have to address the fact that you got worked on that game one. You got dominated. The Braves came out swinging. They were very aggressive offensively, and then they put you in a hole very early in the game. That needs to be addressed. I'm all for addressing the elephant in the room, the issue at hand. So, yes, if I'm in the Astros clubhouse, I'm saying, all right, guys, that's not the way we intended it. That's not the way we intended. We need to get out of these home games, these first two, at least with one win. There's no way we can go back to Atlanta with an 0-2 start. That would be very, very, very bad and definitely not ideal. So we need to at least split this series at home so we go to Atlanta with the series tied. And we need to do it now. And have a strategy, Jim. You cannot default anybody. So if you're going off against Fried, you have to have a strategy as a as an offensive ball club to go up against Fried and have a very specifically tailored to him. You don't have time to default and the luxury of 500 plate appearances to kind of have the numbers even out. You have to hunt pitches if you're hitting. And that goes for both teams, for the Astros specifically. Fried was one of the best pitchers in the league after the All-Star game. If you go up there with the idea, I'm just going to see the ball and hit it, I just need to relax and keep my hands loose, you're going to be in trouble. You better be hunting a certain pitch when you're up in the box, and I'll be looking for that type of approach tonight from the Astros hitters, who are typically an outstanding offensive ball club. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I love that. Really quickly, over the course of the year, Carlos, I've had so many conversations with MLB players, former players, people who cover the game, and I've asked them to try to explain kind of what Shohei Ohtani did this year. I've got to ask you, having played the game as long as you did at such a high level, how do you explain what you saw from him as both a hitter and a pitcher? Before I leave that topic altogether, I really want your thoughts, if you don't mind.
It's an anomaly. I mean, this is something that I could not comprehend. Unfortunately, I thought the entire country got kind of used to seeing, and even though everyone was impressed at the beginning, towards the end, you're like, okay, wow, that's amazing that he's doing this. Like, no, you do not understand. You need to understand that these pitchers, you know, I work with Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famer. I work with John Smoltz. I face them both, and they were extremely difficult to hit. And what went into their preparation to be able to pitch at that elite level was absolutely ridiculous. It was a regimen of stamina, training, preparation, conditioning, studying. That's why they're Hall of Famers, and that's why they perform at a high level. Okay, they're only pitching. They don't have to hit. And then, I'm going to tell you from my experience, for me to even be able to stay in the big leagues for as long as I played, I had to go through so many up and down, so many adjustments, so much preparation, so much studying and repetition and working on my craft to be able to even compete at this level. So when I put those two together, it's incomprehensible to me how someone can go out there and do both at the highest level in the world, in the planet of baseball, and do it in an elite manner. That's what I don't want anyone to take for granted. What we saw was unprecedented. What we saw was history in the making, and it might have been the best baseball performance. I'm going to say it out there. It might be a hot take. The best baseball performance ever in the history of the major leagues was what Shohei Ohtani was able to accomplish.
Carlos, I don't know how you dispute that point. I mean, you're so right. It'd be one thing to just do both jobs at a very average level at the major league level. That would make you a legend if you were just kind of middle of the road at both. But he literally is elite at both. Oh, and he can run the bases a little bit, too. I agree with you. I think that is the most astonishing performance I've ever seen from a major leaguer. The guy had 26 bags at a time when almost nobody runs anymore. So there's almost nothing he can't do. MLB Network's live coverage from Houston's Minute Maid Park gets underway at 3 p.m. Eastern, so 45 minutes out. And you can watch Carlos coming up on MLB tonight at 6 p.m. Carlos, you are a good man. Great to have you back, dude. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. I can't wait until the next time. I look forward to it.
That was great. That was a really good conversation. Carlos, appreciate you. Carlos Pena, sharp, sharp analysis. Great insight. Good takes. I love talking to him. I can't believe it's been a year. That Ohtani, I mean, his point is so great, the way he laid that out, that I went up against the best to do it, and I'm telling you, I know what goes into it. I know the regimen. I know how locked, how dialed, how hard those guys have to work to be pitchers. He goes, and then I'm a hitter that played 14 years. I know what I had to do to play 14 years, and this guy's doing both. It's like the guy has two totally separate careers, but they're combined.